Let's turn to the Word for a couple of minutes. If you have your Bibles with you, turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Yeah, be humble and look in the index where 1 Peter is. Page 1928 in my Bible. Okay, let's go. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 1, it starts with Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, strangers in the world, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctifying work of the Spirit for obedience to Jesus Christ and sprinkled by his blood. Grace and peace be yours in abundance. I'm going to keep reading, but Peter's busy writing to the dispersion. If you have a New King James, you'll read as he writes to the to those that have been dispersed, or to the dispersion. And so what he's saying is that the Jews were all living happily, and then all of a sudden comes this incredible persecution. And they dispersed all over the world, and things are going badly. Not only were they going badly in Jerusalem, they're going badly in the whole of what we would now know as Israel, and they're being dispersed. And as they're being dispersed, they're being persecuted wherever they're going. It is hectic times for the church. Stuff that we could never even dream about is busy happening to them. These are the people that Peter's busy writing to. So let's read it in context and understand what he's busy saying when he says this to these people. Verse 3, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope. What he's saying is, my friends, the very worst things that are busy happening to you in the midst of this, I want to tell you, you are born again, and you are given into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with the inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Today, unfortunately, the word hope has come to mean a very different thing from what the Bible actually intended it. For many, and even in the church, is that we are hopeless. In other words, we are not hopeless people, but we are people that have less hope. We put our hope in all sorts of things that don't necessarily materialize. I'm hoping that this next year I'm going to be able to get a new car. I want to be able to sell my car and get a new one. I hope it's going to happen, but I'm not 100% sure. For some, we're hoping to be married this year. Or at least to find a boyfriend or a girlfriend. Oh, that may not have materialized either. For some, we've hoped that we're going to get a better job than the one we have. And that's not quite worked out the way we would like. We've hoped that financially we were going to be in a better position at the end of this year than we were at the beginning. But that hasn't worked out quite the way we had hoped. You see, hope for us has taken on a very different meaning. The Bible speaks about hope quite differently. And it says that in Hebrews chapter 11, and you know the verse very well, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And Jesus taught us how to put that into practice, because he says, I want to teach you how to pray. Our Father who's in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. 1 Peter, if you keep reading, Peter speaks to them and says, our hope is this, is that Christ came for us. And that in that, we are so secure, knowing that he not only came, but that he died and rose again. And in his resurrection, he lives in heaven, and there is some of heaven that is banked up for us. But that hope that we have then can be made now by faith. And Jesus teaches us to pray accordingly. He says, that which you're hoping for, in other words, this hope of Christ, is that we hope that for now. I want to say that the life that we live right now is a life that's often totally, totally different to that. I'm reminded when Jesus meets up with a woman at the well in John chapter 4, and he starts to chat to her. And here's a woman who has put her hope in a whole lot of different things. She's not sure what her hope is and where her hope should be placed. And that becomes very, very evident as she starts to speak to Jesus. She starts to tell him basically the things of where her hope is found. She speaks about various life circumstances and things that have happened. Her hope is in wrong choices. She's repeatedly failed. She feels trapped. Her hope is in somebody who's going to come into the future. Her hope is in the men that she's been living with. Her hope is in the wrong place. And Jesus starts to speak to her and says, can I help you? Can I press the reset button? And as I press the reset button, is that your hope is transferred into a new hope. You see, I want you to look at heaven and the inheritance that you have in heaven and start to live with some of that inheritance now. And so Peter picks up that theme and he starts to say, in exactly the same way as Jesus spoke to the woman at the well, in exactly the same way, for you, your hope is not just in some mysterious thing, your hope is in the King of Kings. This morning, Mac gave a great illustration as we prayed before the meeting. And he said, we've had this picture up of the four stories of the gospel, this creation that God gave us. And then there was a fall. And then there was a redemption story and then a restoration. And we're going to have those four pictures up permanently into the future because I feel a little insecure when they're not up. And as we speak about that gospel story and the four pictures that we've had up for a number of weeks, Max said, you know what, it's as though God takes us as a thread, as that tapestry is woven, and God takes the little red thread and he starts to weave it in and out. And sometimes it's fun, you know, we come up to the surface and you think, woo, life's great, and then you go through the back of the tapestry, and you're thinking, I'm in the dark. What's going on? Where am I? Whoop, I'm back up again. And then it goes back behind. And then all of a sudden, the red thread ends. And you go, but God, how could you? I've got a ministry and a calling, and I've got a life, and I've got dreams and hopes. And God says, no, actually, just hold on a moment. I want you to stand back just for a minute. You see, it's not just about you. It's not about your little red thread. It's about the bigger picture that I'm busy weaving. And you're just one of those little threads that's being woven into the tapestry. And red is no longer needed. I'm going to use blue now. And I'm not going to have it in this part of the tapestry. I'm going to weave you in this part of the tapestry. And you go, no, don't go there. I don't want to be in that part of the tapestry. You see, that part of the tapestry doesn't ever get noticed. It's the bottom part. I don't want to be there. I want to be in the center part, red. That's nice. I'm not a blue person. Do you realize this, Lord? And he goes, no, no, no. You see, it's not about you. It's about me. It's about my picture that I'm busy weaving. It's about my story that's busy unfolding. There's nothing more true. You see, our hope is not about I'm going to have and where I fit in and my importance and the things I hope for and what I'm going to get for Christmas. You know, my hope is in an eternal King. You know what, this morning as I started to tell that story of Barry and Liz were being woven into a little story called the Good News, Good Life Home, busy being woven, and then all of a sudden it ended. And Barry and Liz sat back and went, God, what on earth are you doing? You make us give up everything. We gave away everything at your command. And then we move here. What now? Where do we go to? God says, there's some things you need to do here and people you need to meet and places you need to go and things you need to do. Don't worry about it. I'll take care of you. Everything will be okay. And one day Barry stood up and told the story and he said, we go to the bank and we put the card in to draw money for lunch and it says declined, insufficient funds. And he said, we take the card and we go home and we pray, Lord Jesus, we pray that you take care of our needs. You know about us. He goes back, puts the card back in again, draws money. It's money in the account. And they go and buy lunch. We're talking they're buying lunch for $1. And when I heard the story, I just thought, oh, dear Lord. One of the guys in the church at that time got hold of Barry and Liz and said, that's a terrible story. That is a terrible story. You're servants of God. It should never happen to you. I'm going to make sure that you never have to worry about lunch again. And Barry said, you've missed the story. You've missed the story. God doesn't need you to provide for us. God provides. You see, my hope, my friend, is not in your bank account. My hope is in Him. You see, when God starts to weave you into the Good Life Home, or He weaves you into the Thailand story, or He weaves you into the Australian story, wherever He's going to weave you and I into, that matters little, because it's about His picture, not ours. And there are times, I want to tell you, where we go in behind the scenes of the tapestry, and I don't know if you've ever seen the back of a tapestry, it ain't pretty. My wife used to love doing cross-stitch. And if you turn the cross-stitch over, oh my goodness, it looked like a dog's breakfast. But you turn it the right way up, it's the most beautiful story. Sometimes we feel like we're spending too much time at the back of that tapestry. And sometimes it comes to an end and we start being woven in somewhere else. Always for His glory and His tapestry, not ours. Can I encourage you that this year, as we celebrate the Jesus who came, and yes, I know all the stories, but He didn't come on Christmas Day, and we can get into all the rigmarole. Please give it up. Give it up. As we start to celebrate and remember Emmanuel who came, God with us. And the God who's with us has never left us. By His Spirit, He says, I will never leave you or forsake you. I'm going to be with you as you're woven in the tapestry. The hard times and the good and the hard times and the good. And when it comes to an end, I'm going to weave you in somewhere new. Stop fighting me. I am the God of hope. He's the God of hope for Viv. When it looked like how many times, Viv? 6 times, He said, if this happens, you will die. I want to tell you, when I heard about Sean, I knew that they were busy building a house, and everything in me was just, oh dear Jesus, this does not look good. This does not look good. I remember Barry organizing the soccer camp, and I told you the story. Barry told me what their budget was, and literally 3-4 days before, they were $2,500 short on their budget. And they had these boys arriving, and they didn't know how they were going to feed them. And I just thought, let us as a church just settle it. And God said to me, don't you dare. Don't you dare. I am busy. You pray for Barry. Do not meet his need. I am his God, not you. And I prayed and said, dear Jesus, you've told me not to do it. And Barry called me and said, you won't believe it. Every cent has been met, and we have 10 baht, which is about 30 cents too much. God knows down to the fine, fine detail. God knows about Good Life Home. And I prayed and said, God, do we need to help Barry and Liz? And he said, yes, now. Now you help Barry and Liz. And we transferred the money immediately. And God's busy with his story there. You see, we are not God. We are not the God of Barry and Liz. We are not the ones who are going to bring hope. Him and him alone.